Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. What did Jesus really teach about divorce? On today's program, we continue our current series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, with Dr. John Neufeld, looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 to 32. So now let's open our Bibles and learn about divorce and the will of God.
Matthew 5, 31 to 32, only two verses in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, and yet it remains one of the most discussed and controversial teachings of Jesus. You know, as a teacher here at Back to the Bible, I've received many letters asking me to give my views on divorce and remarriage. And as a pastor, the issue has come up repeatedly during my career. It's impossible for anyone to be in pastoral ministry today without dealing with this subject frequently. What does the Bible teach on this matter? Well, let's read what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Now, we have been noticing that Jesus has given us a clue as to how his sermon should be interpreted. Back in chapter 5, verse 17, he makes clear that he has not come to abolish the law, and so we have to assume that his foil, or what he is taking issue with, is not the law itself, but rather the Pharisaical misinterpretation of the law. So when he said, "You have heard it said," he's not primarily referring to what the law said, but rather what the Pharisees taught about the law. You know, in a sense, the situation in Jesus' day was not unlike our own today. You know, a great many people, when discussing the Bible, really don't talk about the Bible at all, but rather what their favorite Bible teacher says about the Bible. See, in the same way, Jesus is reflecting back what would have been common in most people's minds. They knew what their favorite Bible teachers were saying about various Bible passages. So as a way of starting, let's notice what the law actually says about divorce, and then what the Pharisees taught about the Old Testament commands about divorce, and then what Jesus said about divorce, and finally, even though we don't have time to talk about it, I'm going to mention the wider New Testament teaching on divorce as well. So let's start with the Old Testament law. I'm reading Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 to 4. "When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it into her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that would be an abomination before the Lord." Now, I want you to notice something that's inherent in this text, but something that was badly misinterpreted by the Pharisees. According to Matthew 19, verses 7 to 8, Jesus is having a dispute with the Pharisees about the issue of divorce. Verse 7 records them as saying, "Why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" Now, no doubt from the perspective of the Pharisees, the chief issue in Deuteronomy was this: what is the nature of the indecency that a man may find in his wife which demands a divorce? They want Jesus to give his interpretation on what Moses meant when he speaks of a husband finding an indecency in his wife. And Jesus immediately takes issue with the Pharisees. He says, and I'm reading from verse 18, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives." Now, I hope you caught that. The Pharisees were speaking about how indecency demanded divorce, and Jesus spoke about how indecency permitted divorce. Nothing demands divorce if there's repentance, renouncing of sin, and reconciliation. Nothing. And so for Jesus, the entire issue was hardness of heart. either in terms of open sin or an unwillingness to repent or an unwillingness to reconcile when there was genuine repentance. For Jesus, there was no divorce mandate, and this was central to the issue. And of course, that's exactly what the law of Moses said. Divorce was granted as a necessary concession. The ethical ideal is marriage for life. God designed marriage from the beginning as a bond to be broken by death alone. Now let's get back to Deuteronomy 24. What's of note here is the certificate of divorce. In ancient days, marriages and divorce were not official government matters. They were domestic matters. Therefore, in the ancient world, when a man divorced his wife, all he needed to do was to tell her he's divorcing her, and then they were divorced. Nothing official at all. And then came the law of Moses, and it mandated the man put the matter in writing. It was a form of protection for the woman. The law demanded the man state his reasons, what indecency he had found in her. She could not be discarded for inadequate reasons, nor could she be divorced on a whim, and then on a whim again, he would take her back, playing a kind of ping pong with her. And so three things came into play. The first was that the man had to provide adequate grounds. He could not divorce her on an impulse. And then second, it provided the woman with a legal document so that if she should remarry, she could not be accused of adultery. She had a document that stated that her previous marriage was no longer valid. You see, most divorced women would have been forced to remarry, for it was the only way that they could take care of themselves. And even though divorced without a certificate, a jealous husband might arise and accuse her of adultery. But her certificate, that was her protection. Now, a third matter that protected her is that the original husband could not take her back. Divorce was seen as final, and this fact slowed the process down and forced the husband to seriously consider what he was about to do. You do this, and you can never, for the rest of your life, undo this, no matter how you regret this deed. It is permanent. So the law realized you couldn't stop a divorce, but you could make the matter a very sober business and demand that you think about it. Isn't the purpose of God that the two should be one for life? And by the way, I grew up in a Canada in which it was very hard to get a divorce. Divorce was granted on the ground of adultery and cruelty, what we might now call abuse. And outside of that, if a husband were struggling to get along with his wife and he sued for divorce, a Canadian judge was very likely to give the couple a lecture in his courtroom. And he'd tell them to go home and learn to live as husband and wife. The two would hear from a secular Canadian judge that marriage is the bedrock for a stable society, and so this was more than just about the two of them. This was about the future of the nation and of the next generation. How very different the world has become within the space of one generation. See, in Canada today, if one files for a divorce and the other opposes it, the divorce is always granted. Furthermore, we now have no-fault divorce where no grounds for divorce are required at all. All that's required is some equitable manner of dividing up assets and children. See, I hope you see how very different the Old Testament law was. Now, at the time of Jesus, instead of realizing this intended the law, it would seem that the Pharisees bypassed God's intention for marriage and the serious nature of divorce and simply went to the question of what were proper grounds for divorce. And here's where it gets really interesting. Two rabbis, men who had lived about 100 years before Christ, had given a very different interpretation of the divorce laws in Deuteronomy 24. According to Rabbi Hillel, divorce should be possible for any and every reason. The indecency that Moses spoke of, according to Rabbi Hillel, was something in the woman that displeased her husband. Since Moses hadn't specified what that indecency was, neither should we, said Rabbi Hillel. A man can divorce his wife for any and every reason. For Rabbi Hillel, it was wide open. He would have agreed with present Canadian laws, except he was a sexist. This was for men only. The woman was left helpless. But there was an opposing position. A man named Rabbi Shammai taught that divorce was only allowable in the case of adultery. The indecency must, he argued, be the indecency found in the law. And because the law made so much about adultery, this is the uncleanness Moses referred to. So in Jesus' day, this was a live issue. Listen to Matthew 19, verse 3. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" I hope you hear what they were asking him. "In the matter of divorce," they said, "do you agree with what Rabbi Hillel said or with Rabbi Shammai?" And it's this background that makes what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount so fascinating. Since he has been teaching that he has not come to abolish the law, and as there was a general disagreement as to what the law actually taught about the matter of divorce, as the Pharisees couldn't even agree with each other on the issue, what would Jesus say? Indeed, doesn't this sound very contemporary? This is the same fight we're having in the church today. What did Jesus say? Let's answer when we come back.
As we begin to study what Jesus taught about this controversial subject, we recognize that even today it is one of those hot-button issues for many within the church. Dr. Neufeld helps us understand how Jesus' teaching goes back to the original intent and purpose of the law regarding divorce, and how the Pharisees, again, had got it all wrong. In the next message, we will examine how Jesus responds to their question and learn what is permissible grounds for divorce. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in.